This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Top story today around the sports world. The NFL franchise tag window is opening. And it is expected that the franchise tag is going to be used for the second straight year on T. Higgins for the Bengals. That has a huge trickle-down of repercussions for Cincinnati, the rest of the wide receiver market potentially, and then what else they do with their roster. So I thought it would be wise to check in with someone who knows the Bengals as well as anyone for today's Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
If the Bengals are the top story, you know where we're going. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 up in Cincinnati. Great friend of the show. Been a friend for a long time. Mo, appreciate you, my friend. How are we doing?
I'm good, Craig. How are you?
I am good, and I'm interested in some of your football players. I would like to take them. I'd like to bring them to Washington. The question is going to be the price, and we learned a little bit perhaps more about the price with T. Higgins with some reporting over the weekend, although it hasn't officially gone down yet. Reports say that the Bengals are going to franchise T. Higgins, which affects, you know, obviously how he approaches the actual contract that he's eventually going to want, as well as what kind of compensation it might take to get him if they do trade him away. But what was your reaction just broadly to the news that they are going to franchise T. Higgins?
Well, I think my reaction would have been a lot different had Joe Burrow not just spent the last 2.5 months talking about how they have to keep T. Higgins. And this has been really interesting because I think from about last spring until the night of December 9th, we have been operating under the assumption that 2024 was going to be the last season that T. Higgins played for the Cincinnati Bengals. And then all of a sudden, after they play the Cowboys on the 9th of December, a Monday night game, Joe Burrow, almost unprompted, starts talking about, we got to keep T. Higgins, calls him a need, and repeated this time and again over the final few weeks of the season. And then the Super Bowl gets here. He goes to New Orleans, and Joe Burrow went on every conceivable national outlet to talk specifically about T. Higgins. So he has changed the conversation. I think it's fair to say that he has probably changed the Bengals strategy as it relates to T. Higgins. And so now I think it's relatively, if you understand that Joe has a lot of pull and a lot of clout, and if you believe that he has worked behind the scenes to figure out a way to make this happen for all concerned parties, I think the news that T. Higgins is most likely to be a Bengal in 2025 is unsurprising. Where things go from here and whether or not they actually get a long-term deal done, I guess, remains to be seen. But I think relative to what we know Joe Burrow wants, finding out that the Bengals are going to employ a mechanism that'll enable them to keep T. Higgins was to be pretty expected.
So let me, before we go any further, ask you this. Is Joe Burrow right? Is T. Higgins a need for the Bengals?
I think relative to the rest of the roster, like, that's the thing. Like, it's easy to say, well, God, can you really pay Jamar? Can you pay T? And can you continue to pay Joe Burrow? Well, if across the roster there's a lot of other guys you want to keep, then the answer is no. But if you look at this roster, there's the guys who are making a lot of money who aren't T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are players they should cut. And so the Trey Hendrickson thing is a little bit of a different conversation because he is under contract for this year and he is an older player. But the reason this team was on the outside looking in the postseason was the rest of the roster stinks. So there's nobody else either worth paying or worth keeping. And there are a lot of guys they probably should cut. And when they do, they'll have a fair amount of money to spend. We can obviously debate how much T is in need. He's been on the team the last couple of years and they haven't won. The reason the Bengals haven't given him a contract extension so far is based on two things. Number one, he's hurt a lot. Number two, they've got a guy who plays the same position who's a better player, who they screwed things up with by not extending last year. And then Ja'Marr Chase went out there and won the Triple Crown. But look, they've tried it. Joe has said often over the last 2.5 months, we don't want to keep being the team that is allowing really good players to get away. And what he is referring to is there is a long track record the Bengals have of having a plan in place to replace a really good player and that plan not working. Go back to Andrew Whitworth, which is almost, 9 years ago. They had a plan to replace him. They telegraphed it. They drafted two tackles in 2015 in the first two rounds, knowing they're going to let Andrew walk at the end of the 2016 season. The plan did not work. They had a plan to replace Jesse Bates, a terrific safety, an anchor to their Super Bowl team a couple of years ago. They took a safety out of Michigan in the first round in 2022, gave him a redshirt year, a chance to play behind Jesse Bates. That plan did not work. They had a plan to replace Von Bell at safety. That plan was so bad, they went back and had to bring back Von Bell after he played with the Carolina Panthers for a year. There is a track record the Bengals have of, we're going to try to replace a really good player via the draft. Even Trey Hendrickson. I'd be willing to bet that the plan when they drafted Miles Murphy in the first round 2 years ago was Miles Murphy was eventually going to be the starting right edge and replace Trey Hendrickson. That hasn't worked. And so I think where Joe is right is, look, man, we've tried to have a plan to replace really good players. The plans haven't worked. So why are we going to do this again? Now, again, it remains to be seen what they do with the rest of the roster. They have to fix the defense. They have to upgrade the offensive line. They've got a lot of areas. But I think Joe is right in this regard. The Cincinnati Bengals, since Joe has gotten here, have had some really good players. They leave for whatever reason. Chidobe Awuzie would be another one, a starting corner, their best corner for years. They couldn't replace him when he walked in free agency last season. We have a track record of having good players when they leave because they either get too expensive or they've outplayed their usefulness. We can't figure out a way to replace them. We don't want to do the same thing with T. Higgins.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, is our guest here on the Hoffman Show. So is that, like, do they just have a bad scouting department? Is it because they are not? I mean, one of the things that I think we all look at around the league right now is the Eagles are able to do the things that they're doing in part because Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, allows Howie Roseman, the GM, to play with cash in a way that a lot of other GMs, almost no other GM in the league, has the freedom to do. And the Bengals notoriously are one of the most cash poor teams in the NFL. They have not extended guys earlier, structured contracts in a way that can be cash heavy. And so is that why they're not able to just retain, or haven't chosen to retain those guys in the first place? And then you combo it with bad drafting. Like, what's the disconnect here? Well, they nailed Burrow. That wasn't too hard. They nailed Chase. That one wasn't too hard. They nailed Higgins. But they also got all these guys that you've talked about, some in free agency like Hendrickson, some in the draft like Bates. And then they decide to move on. Like, what's the combo there that's causing this to even pile up in the first place?
I think it starts with drafting. You're right. They nailed it with Joe Burrow. I could have made that pick. They nailed it with Ja'Marr Chase, which, you know, that was, we debated for months, Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase. Both are
probably would have gotten
players.
Either one right. Those two teams are pretty good.
Right. Exactly. They got the T. Higgins. They got right. First pick of the second round of the 2020 draft. And I actually think the early returns from their draft last season have been pretty encouraging, but the bottom line is, number one, when they got to the Super Bowl in 2021 and the AFC Championship game in 2022, they obviously had a quarterback under a rookie contract, and they were starting the roster from scratch. they nailed it in free agency for a couple of years because they could just throw money at the defense and they could just throw money at the offensive line. And you know, it's one thing to do that, and it's something else to throw money at the right guys, and they did. Trey Hendrickson replaced Carl Lawson. That was a guy when they signed him from the New Orleans Saints. A lot of us wondered, like, all right, like, you know, are his sack totals inflated because of situations in New Orleans? Well, it turned out he's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. They threw a lot of money at DJ Reader, made him, at the time, the highest paid nose tackle, free agent nose tackle in the history of the league. Well, who was DJ Reader before he came to Cincinnati and then was the anchor of some really good defenses? They took the money they had, and they had millions, and just threw it at the defense, and it worked. Well, what has happened since? Joe Burrow is making a lot more money. It's not quite as easy to just throw money at stuff. You can't overpay. You have to pay judiciously, and they have struggled with that. Their free agent class last year was a mini disaster. Geno Stone from the Baltimore Ravens didn't work out. What they've done on the offensive line really has not worked out to the extent that they would like, because now they're going to have to replace Alex Kapp, who they'll cut, probably have to replace Cordell Volson. But at the end of the day, it really is about drafting. You know, we talked about the Bengals' inability to replace players that they've let walk. And the two primary examples are the players they took in the first round of 22 and 23. Dax Hill has now been in the NFL for 3 years. First round pick of the 2022 draft, 31st overall. Drafted him to play safety. Will probably this offseason go through his third position change since he got to Cincinnati. Miles Murphy, edge rusher from Clemson, drafted with the idea that they were going to work him into the rotation on the edge, and then one day he would be a starter, had as many sacks last season as I have.
That's zero, by the way, for everyone who's listening.
Exactly.
Most very talented, not a sack artist.
I had a donut last year. So it's a lot. Like, it's never any one thing, but at the end of the day, they've done a poor job of acquiring cheap talent in the draft and getting those guys to provide almost instant results. And that's kind of why they are where they are.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Talk show host, not a defensive end. pleasure to have him nonetheless. Speaking of the guy who plays defensive end in Cincinnati. So if they franchise Higgins, and either, you know, hopefully they can work out a long-term deal, or they're just going to pay him a boatload of money that is 100% cash to cap in 2025, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for Trey Hendrickson, who wants a new deal. Now, they could just call his bluff and be like, hey man, you got a pretty decent cap number for relative to your production. We're just going to keep you. But it also, if they're that tight on the cap, they save $16 million if they cut him. And if they can trade him, they save all that money and could get draft capital in return. So where do you think they stand with Trey Hendrickson on the keep versus cut versus trade? And then we can talk about the value potentially if trade is on the table.
Yeah, I think there is a desire for this to be the quietest possible offseason they can have, because the offseason the last couple of years has been dominated by a lot of outside noise. And some of that noise was created last year when Trey Hendrickson asked for a trade. And we all kind of laughed at Trey when he did that, because he got a contract extension prior to the 2023 season and then went out and had a great 2023 season. That deal had 2 years left on it at the end of the 23 season. He asked for an extension, and the Bengals said, no, we just gave you one. You have two more years left. Like, we're good. And by the way, that was, I think, the right approach. What has happened since? Led the league in sacks. Was a defensive player of the year, and so now he has one year left on his deal, fewer than a year ago. So what they expect is Trey is going to ask for an extension, and if he doesn't get it, maybe ask for another trade. And if he doesn't get it, I think they're really wary of a guy like Trey or anybody else doing what Ja'Marr Chase did last summer, which is do the hold in, right? Every day. That was the story of camp. Well, Ja'Marr is here, but he's not practicing. What color hat does he have on today? Oh, wait a minute. He might practice tomorrow. No, I mean, it took on a life of its own and lasted until the morning of the first game. So I think start there. They really want to do everything they can to avoid a noisy offseason. So I think just having Trey play out his final season is not something they want to do, because they think that's going to come with noise, whether it's a trade request, a hold-in, some sort of weirdness when training camp starts. Then there's what Joe Burrow has stated. And again, Joe for better or for worse, his voice has carried more weight than anybody that I can ever remember as a player in Cincinnati sports. He is saying extend the guy. Okay, well, that means they're not going to trade him because I, as much as you can make the argument that maybe it would make sense to trade Trey given the year that he had, especially if you don't have real designs on extending him long term, I think Joe Burrow's words about Trey Hendrickson have changed the conversation, and now they're going to sit down with him and try to iron out something long term. I think there's some caution you have to exercise there because he is going to be 31 at the end of the season. Chances are he's not going to have another 17 and a half sack season, but I expect them to work with him to get a deal done. Whether it happens, whether they offer Trey what he's looking for, I have no idea. But not unlike T. Higgins 3 months ago, I would have said the Bengals are probably just going to have Trey play out his last year. Now, because of the stuff that Joe Burrow has said, and because I think of a desire to go through the most quiet, peaceful offseason possible, they'll go ahead and acquiesce, try to figure out a way to sign Trey, try to figure out a way to sign T, try to figure out a way to give Ja'Marr Chase what he wants, and then go from there.
Yeah, so the last piece of the puzzle is Chase, like you mentioned, who is on his fifth-year option. He'll make $21 million this year. So they can obviously try to do some kind of extension, maybe bring that cap number down this year. Like there's all kinds of cap gymnastics that are potentially out there with a low base salary in year one, signing bonus, et cetera. It's always a fun thing. The GMs mostly care about the cap. Unless their owner is breathing down their neck on the cash part. The players don't give a rip about the cap. They're like, just give me, how much money can I get as soon as possible? Right. Give me the money. So for Trey, though, if they ultimately look at Joe and they're like, Joe, we hear you. But like, man, you're making a lot of money. We're going to get your guy T. We got to take care of Ja'Marr. We can't keep everybody. We got to, like, trading Trey is the best possible outcome for us here because we can get some cap relief, which helps us do what you know we want to do on your side of the ball, and it gets us some extra draft capital. Does it take a first? I would doubt it, considering his contract, but, like, what do you think it's going to take to pry Trey Hendrickson out of Cincinnati, and then what kind of deal is he realistically looking at for a guy who is going to be 31 years old, although he just had 17 and a half sacks?
I think he wants to be paid like one of the elite pass rushers in the NFL. What that looks like financially, you know, for a guy who is going to be 31 at the end of the season, you know, your guess is as good as mine. The Bengals are not going to trade him for 75 cents on the dollar. They're not going to trade him just to get something for him, and they're not going to trade him just because Trey asked for one. If they make a trade for an established player, it's going to be because they get back what they think is, if not equal value, perhaps even more. So I think it's going to take a lot. And look, the reality is Bengals have to overhaul their defense this offseason. They have a new defensive coordinator. They had one good player on defense. Now, there's a very good philosophical debate there, right? Like, all right, Al Golden, you're the new defensive coordinator. You've got to rebuild this defense. Hey, the one good player we had last year, we're taking away. Okay, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense unless you can reinvest those picks into your defense. But at the end of the day, I think Trey Hendrickson's going to be a Bengal in 2025. My guess is it's going to come via an extension. I would be willing to bet that they'll listen to trade offers, but you're going to have to knock their socks off to take away a guy who really was their only good defensive player last season. They're not going to trade him because Trey asked for a deal. If they did that, they would have traded dozens of players by now because every offseason somebody asked for a trade. They had a guy, Jermaine Pratt, a linebacker, asked for one. It came out last week. If they trade Trey Hendrickson, they're going to ask for a lot in return, and I think to a large degree, understandably so, mainly because the quarterback is breathing down their neck to ensure that they pay the NFL's current sack leader.
Yeah, they're not going to get good offers. 31-year-old pass rusher.
Right, exactly.
You're immediately going to have to give a new deal. Like, Myles Garrett is a different case because he's Myles Garrett. And Trey Hendrickson's an excellent player. He's not Myles Garrett. Myles is also 2 years younger. And you're going to have to give Myles Garrett, you know, the biggest contract, the biggest defensive contract in the history of the league. But, like, Trey Hendrickson's not Myles Garrett. So I would be surprised if a team... Like, Trey Hendrickson's a great player, but, like, the weird thing is you go start to look at it, and it's like, I don't know that I want to give up more than the third for Trey Hendrickson. If I'm the Bengals, I don't know if I'm trying to make runs in the next couple of years, like, if that's something that I that I want to do. Last thing for you, Mo, kind of going back to the genesis of all of this with Burrow really pushing the Bengals organization. Obviously, he's the most valuable asset. I don't know. Is it fair to say that the most valuable piece they've ever had, with all due respect to Boomer Esiason and, you know, some of those teams that made runs in the 80s and early 90s, Joe Burrow is probably the best Bengal in the history of the franchise. And that has seemed to change the way the franchise operates, because this is a team that notoriously has been, cheap. I don't think that you would disagree with that assessment from decades and decades of ownership there. So, do you think that if Joe has this much influence, can he change the way that they actually do business to get out ahead of some of this stuff, or is this Joe is going to spend the rest of his career as a Bengal trying to put out fires, and what does that mean for his relationship with the Bengals in the long term?
I think everybody views this as the next 3 years are time frame. Within the next 3 years, they have to win a championship. Quarterbacks do not win their first Super Bowl after their eighth season. He's been in the league for 5 years. They've got a core together. I think this franchise doesn't want to be in a place where in 2 years or 3 years, they're still looking to win one, because we've seen what that looks like. It's called Carson Palmer putting a gun to their head after year eight, saying, I'll retire before I play another down here. I think these next 3 years are crucial for this team, and Joe Burrow knows it. Joe Burrow knows he is holding all the cards. He's got all the leverage, and he also has the public on his side. So, I've never seen an athlete in town, certainly a Bengal, be able to flex muscles the way Joe has and is, and I expect it to only continue.
It's Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 up in Cincinnati. You can check out his show online on the apps, all the places that you can listen to radio these days if you want more of the Cincy perspective. Mo, really appreciate your time. Your perspective, as always, my friend. Hope you're well. Thank you.
You got it, man. Thank you.
That's Mo Egger with us here on The Hoffman Show. Coming up at 6 o'clock, take command style. Logan and I are going to talk about, the futures of Johnny Newton, Daron Payne, and John Allen. So that's something to definitely look forward to. Coming up next, though, let's follow up on our conversation there with Mo. How interested are you in Trey Hendrickson if he becomes available via trade for the Commanders? We'll talk about that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom?
Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980. Again, 6 o'clock, we'll get into the incumbents on the Commanders defensive line. What do they do with Johnny Newton? Got a mailbag question about a position switch. Could they push him out to edge? Why is that a good or bad idea? And then Daron Payne, John Allen. Are we so sure that Allen's the one that's going to get shipped out of town? We answered that in our Take Command mailbag. We'll share those answers with you coming up at 6 p.m. Right now, though, we go back to the conversation we just had with Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati about Trey Hendrickson. And I just don't see how, even though Joe Burrow, Anthony, is apparently on their GM and their owners and whatever's next, to say, like, you better keep Hendrickson, you better keep T. I don't understand how they make all that math work. Like, maybe in the short term, but are they really going to sign up all these dudes for the long term when that's the core that just led them to 9 wins? I don't know, none of those guys were the problem. And that sometimes is a thing, right? It's like, oh, well, how much is it Trey Hendrickson really worth? Their defense was so bad that Joe Burrow played like an MVP and they didn't even make the playoffs. And it's like, well, he wasn't the problem. He had 17 and a half sacks. And a bunch of other dudes that sucked. But at the same time, like, premier players cost money. He's going to want a big new deal. He's going to the final year of his deal. They could save $16 million by trading him. I think the prudent move for the Bengals with where they're at defensively is because they need so much. And, like, it's not like the Commanders where you have some serviceable pieces and, like, you need to upgrade on serviceable. The Bengals have some just flat out holes where they got nobody and no real plan because they missed a ton in the draft, which is what we were talking about with Mo. So for Hendrickson, and by the way, they're also in a bad cap situation because they're paying Burrow a ton. They're going to have to pay Jamar Chase the biggest receiver contract ever because he just won the Triple Crown. They should have just extended him for something right at Justin Jefferson's number last season and then just watch the cap go up and that deal get better and better over time. They are franchising T again, and if they keep him, then he could just walk again after next year. They might not get any extra draft capital or anything like that in the long term. So I just don't understand how you make the money work. If you want to keep Burrow happy, I'd keep Chase and Higgins because you know you can average damn near 30 a game if all those guys stay healthy, and God forbid you ever get an offensive line draft pick right and have that come together. And so Hendrickson becomes available for... I'm guessing you're going to have to pay him in the high 20s, if not the low 30s, a couple, 2 to 3 years maybe. And let's say a third or fourth round pick. If I'm the Bengals, do I do that? If I'm the Commanders, do I do that? Those are the lingering questions here.
You said a third or fourth for Trey?
I think so. He's 31 and you have to give him a new deal immediately.
Yeah.
So that matters, right? Because you're not getting long-term control. So sometimes when you get, you know, first, like, he's not Myles Garrett. So we can stop with, you know, multiple firsts or whatever. Oh, he led the NFL in sack. Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson are very, very different players. Hendrickson is a clear tier below. He's very, very good. He's also 2 years older, and I think Garrett's got 2 years left on his contract. Like, he's extension eligible, and you can definitely give him new money, and he's going to want new money. But if you told Myles, like, hey, man, we're going to do this after next season, like, you might be able to get away with Myles this season. Hendrickson, the second you acquire him, you're probably giving him an extension. That's, like, part of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably lean towards giving him a fourth, to be honest, just because you
of course
are under the impression that you got to pay the dude. But going to your question about, like, what the Bengals should do, I agree with you in terms of staying with T, moving off Hendrickson, just because, again, your best defense, even if you were to keep Hendrickson, and last year was your offense. Like, the fact that you had one of the best aerial attacks in the league, that's good enough for your defense, I guess. So I don't know if it's a tough situation that they're in, but if I'm them, I think they made the obvious one, tag T and possibly move off Trey.
Yeah, the thing is, it doesn't sound like they're going to probably do it. Like, it sounds like they would, like, I don't know. It sounds like they would just prefer to pay everybody and see if they can figure it out later, which is bold strategy, but, like, I also get it. Like, replacing good players is hard. And that was kind of Mo's whole thing is, and they've let Jesse Bates go. They've let Andrew Whitworth go, going back 2 years ago, going back 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have tried to replace some of these guys with draft picks, and they keep missing on the draft picks. Like, they've actually done a good job with the strategy and a poor job with the execution. And I think this is, like, part of a larger discussion. Were we having this before the show? I think you and I were talking about this before the show, and we were talking about this, and we were talking about Garrett, and we were talking about, you know, would you do the two first or whatever? I actually responded to a YouTube comment on this in one of the breaks here, because I was perusing the comments because I'm a sick human being who can't help myself. But someone was like, I don't think that paying any defensive player $30 million a year is worth it. And I don't think giving up two firsts for Myles Garrett is worth it. And I think for 90% of teams in the league, you're correct. Like, I actually don't disagree as vehemently with that logic as maybe you would think I do based off of what I've said about Myles Garrett for Washington. For Washington, I think Garrett could be the difference between you and a championship. And regardless of giving up one first rounder, two first rounders, whatever, you can make yourself right by drafting well. And this is the difference in some of these teams that have... We were talking about this pre-show. I did talk about this in a response to a comment, but I now remember specifically the conversation because we were talking about the Bears trade for Khalil Mack, right? The Bears trade, they give up two first-round picks for Khalil Mack. They pay him, at the time, what's an NFL record extension, 6 years, $141 million. The problem is they then drafted like poopsie, and they screwed up the quarterback position. They draft Trubisky, I think, is in that time frame. And they punch themselves in the gut, stomp on their own toe, whatever, shoot themselves in the foot, whatever analogy you want to use. And that's why the Bears were bad. The Bears weren't bad because they gave up two first-round picks for Myles Garrett. The Bears were bad because they messed up a bunch of other stuff around giving up two first-round picks for Myles Garrett. And you could, like, those two arguments are not totally separate, right? If you have more swings in the draft, or sorry, for Khalil Mack, not Myles Garrett, obviously. If you have multiple swings, you have a better chance of getting a hit. So if you think about the draft as just total at bats, our batting average doesn't have to be as high. And that's why accumulating as many picks as possible is the right play often in the draft. But if you have the chance to get someone like a Myles Garrett, and you're willing to walk that tightrope, the payoff is enormous. And I look at a team like the Rams, who obviously shortened their window, but they got the championship when they traded two firsts in the Jalen Ramsey trade, but they got it done. They were a team that was ready to make that kind of deal, maybe the only team in modern NFL history that was ready to make that kind of deal. And they were still competitive in the years to come because they got a couple of things right in the draft. And while they've had a couple down years and they obviously haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl, you draft a Puka Nacua. Last year, you drafted Braden Fisk and Jared Verse. And all of a sudden, you know, if they can either keep Stafford this year, they can probably compete for their division and be competitive again. Or if they can figure out something else at quarterback, whether that's a Sam Darnold or something else, like the Rams are still going to be pretty good despite having done that Jalen Ramsey trade. Why? Because they've done well in the draft and with other acquisitions otherwise. And by the way, they got a championship along the way before Aaron Donald retired, which is obviously the most important thing in terms of their championship timeline because he was the best player in the sport, certainly non-quarterback division. And so I think that's my thing with Garrett and the Commanders is, one, you have a rookie on a quarterback a quarterback on a rookie contract, obviously Jaden going into his second year. That allows you financial flexibility that if you are even, say, Buffalo considering a Myles Garrett trade, you don't have. They're paying Josh Allen relatively market rate. Then you also have a GM who has been very, very good at the draft, and especially in the later rounds. And while there are no guarantees, that should buy you something to be able to say whether it's, you know, I wouldn't do it for Hendrickson. I think taking the swings is better than giving up even a fourth and having to pay Trey Hendrickson. I'm not willing to lose a draft pick and my financial flexibility for Trey Hendrickson. And I hope that's illuminating in terms of my stance of just how special Myles Garrett is. But I think for Garrett, I'm willing to do a lot more because he's the kind of player that wins you a championship. And the Commanders just don't have that many types of players. Really, they have one. They have Jaden. And if you want to put Terry, you know, it's somewhere right up close to that, the best possible supporting cast, then fine. But that's kind of, I feel like that's where I sit.
No, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think the point you made about sometimes, though, trading first-round picks or multiple first-round picks for players hasn't necessarily worked out. Going back to that point, I think some of that has to more so do with, like, scheme fit. I think Myles Garrett coming from Cleveland, who had four down linemen, to hear.
Yeah, a four-down guy who can move around. Yeah. Oh, you mean the perfect Dan Quinn chess piece? And that's part of the reason I'd be willing to do it for Washington, too. Like,
yeah.
He's the closest. He and Micah are, like, two of the only guys that can do that at that level.
Exactly. So I think, Miles, it makes sense. Some of the other guys you named the Jalen Ramsey.
He goes into that Brandon Staley defense, yeah. And he was so good, and Aaron Donald was so good that Brandon Staley got a head coaching job.
Exactly. So I think that's where the disconnect is on some of those draft picks that you mentioned being traded for.
Jamal Adams gets traded for multiple firsts. Yep. Like, that one bombs because the thing that he was being asked to do in New York is totally different than what he's asked to do in Seattle.
Exactly.
Like, it's a nightmare. That's a good point, too. We get back. We can talk about this more with you at 301-230-0980, and or we will hit our weekend in review here on The Hoffman Show. All right, coming up in 9 minutes, you got Take Command on Daron Payne, Johnny Newton, John Allen, the future of what those guys could look like in or out of burgundy and gold. Got some really good mailbag questions, and Logan and I took a swing at them earlier today. If you want to submit a question for the mailbag on Take Command, you can hit me on Instagram at hoffman.sports. You can also go to hoffmanshow.com and use the contact link. We might get some calls on the Trey Hendrickson stuff later. We're just really short on time, so we don't really have time for calls right now. So, Anthony, it is time for our weekend in review, which, much like the weekend preview, is brought to you by
nobody, Craig.
Damn. Going all the way back to Friday night, our girl, Aaliyah Edwards, in the unrivaled one-on-one tournament.
A dog.
She smoked Arike Ogunbowale. Didn't see that one coming. And then, I mean, she beat Fee in the first of three, and then Nafisa Collier just was like, I literally run this league.
Yeah.
Is this the year that Fee challenges? Like, I think it's easy to forget how good Asia Wilson was last year for the Aces because ultimately the Liberty won, and obviously the Lynx made the finals. But, like, how close are we getting in terms of the gap in terms of how good Nafisa Collier is close to Asia Wilson as the top of the NBA or the WNBA. And like, where does Stewie fit in that? I feel like they're the undoubted, unchallenged best three. Caitlin's coming for them. She might already be top five.
Yeah.
But I think we're getting close.
I think the argument for, you know, the gap closing more so revolves around Fee and Breanna Stewart. I think age is in a word of her own just because of how dominant she is offensively, defensively. And not to say Fee isn't doing the same thing defensively.
That's kind of my thing, right?
She's too dominant, though. Like, it doesn't matter, like, who you have on her. If you have a big on her, she's too quick. She's too fast. If you have a smaller person on, she's going to get to the basket as well. So I think Asia alone is just that dominating presence in a world of her own.
I'm very curious to see how this year goes in the W for those three. And frankly, for Caitlin in year two. Can she crash the party? Because, man, what Fee's doing right now, the level she's playing at, her ability to post, shoot threes, defend bigs, defend perimeter players, like, yeah, it's crazy. But congrats to Fee, congrats to Aaliyah, and congrats to Unrivaled for playing basketball this weekend that was entertaining, something the NBA couldn't figure out. Men's college basketball on the weekend, Auburn, Alabama.
Man.
Number one, Auburn, goes on the road to Tuscaloosa, 94-85 win. I caught the very end of this one. It was basically already over, but it was close for a lot of it. So, you know, good hard-fought game. Alabama, just not enough offense in that first half. Down 9 at halftime. They only got 33 points on the board in that first half. They went 52-52 in the second half, though.
Yeah, I mean, the second half, it was exciting, though. Like, that's what you should expect. Alabama made it real interesting, close late in the game, but too much Auburn, too much Taha Padfort. That dude is nasty, man. He is filthy. So I'm excited for the tournament, man.
I think I'm gonna watch a lot more of the tournament this year than I have in recent years. It feels like there's some good hoop actually being played, which, yep, you love to see. Houston holds off Arizona 62-58. That was 6 versus 13. Wisconsin, number 16 team in the land, upset Purdue on Saturday at Purdue, so that's a big win. Maryland had a big win on Sunday. Mississippi State beat Ole Miss, so good rivalry weekend all around on the men's side of it. And then on the women's side of things, man, UConn USC, as in South Carolina, didn't see this one coming. Holy cow, dude! UConn absolutely spanks Dawn Staley's team. They won the second quarter 24-9.
Yeah.
And the DMV's very own, AZ Fudd, all of a sudden, she looks healthy. And that completely changes who UConn is. Like, if AZ and Paige Beckers are playing at their best, they can beat anyone. Straight up, they can beat anyone.
Yeah, it's a little scary. They went on a 22 run from the first to the second quarter. And, like, basically from there, it was just out of reach. AZ also got hot in the third quarter, which was scary. I think she had 18, which was her highest score of her career. So UConn, definitely a team to watch. And also, Craig, the next game you'll talk about, Texas LSU. Oh, my gosh. Watch out for Texas.
Yeah, Texas has definitely got something going. This game was heinous in the first half, bro. First quarter, it was 10-10. It was an 18-9 second quarter. And then Texas just smokes them in the second half, including winning the fourth quarter 21-9. Anissa Morrow, who's a name to watch for the Mystics in the WNBA draft, with that fourth pick. 15 points, 20 rebounds, 3 steals in the loss for LSU. But Booker for Texas, yeah, she's playing great ball, 16-10 for her. UCLA beats Michigan State to hold on to the number one ranking. And, you know, USC, actually, we'll see when the polls come out. They were number one going into that game. But they lost to USC earlier in the week. And then Juju and company found themselves down. And then Juju got hot in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they were able to beat Washington 69-64. But some good college hoop. North Carolina State was a good one as well. The Tar Heels able to pull the upset in-state rivalry there. So good weekend of hoops. Yeah, man. Both tournaments going to be fabulously fun. Really excited for that. And also, of course, don't sleep on Notre Dame, who actually took over the aforementioned number one ranking. They beat Duke yesterday 64-49 as Cintron and Hidalgo and that crew just keeps on rolling. Olivia Miles, another name to watch. And by the way, the Terps, also a big win on the women's side. They beat Michigan 85-77. All right, that is our weekend in review, brought to you by no one. When we get back, take command time, answering some key questions about the Commander's defensive line.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.